Then chapter 3 of this book, which says Moorland, a very, very special trip. Top page 21. The experiences took place in a motivating way. Each of the conception of the cesium crystals happened just as Zenon anticipated. We were able to see in that opportunity many of the ships closer, making their way across the Andean skies in various non-linear trajectories. Two or even three ships were seen altogether in the horizon. Above all, the main experience was to feel for a few minutes the projection of the cesium crystals, which had a curious pyramid-like shape. An eerie type of warmth, a strange energy, and even a light weight was felt in the palm of my hands. Once these crystals were integrated into the chest, I felt the warmth initially experienced on my hands spread throughout my body. These crystals, which had also been materialized for others in that gaseous state, integrated into the radial nerves plexus inside my chest, a few centimeters above the thymus gland, and began to function as another great energy center would. Moreover, it began to catalyze the ultraviolet rays that, as I told at that time, would greatly affect the unfoldment of life in our world. Out of that experience, I began to feel and understand that the pre-operational process was the best physical and anemic state within me. This increases the rate or frequency of our metabolism, then sitting and refining it until the arrival of that highly expected agreed upon date for the physical encounter. Early in the morning of that day, I had already made myself present at the mines of the snow-capped mountain known as Huayna Potosi. This was the place decided for the encounter, for possessing a great amount of natural magnetism emitted by the mountain, a lagoon, and above all, by the many minerals that are scattered throughout the entire sector. According to my knowledge, then this natural source of energy was used for the displacement of the ships, certainly, as in the and this opportunity for physical approaches in experiences. By noon, the telepathic communication channel had opened one more time, by this time with another being, Godard, who, in a very brief and concise way, told me the following. Yes, I am Godard, and I am with you to tell you that a very important phase of the process through which you prepare will be completed today. Since with the experience you will undergo after 8 o'clock tonight, the clarity of the commitment that you shall assume will be greater. The experience has been prepared for you to live it by entering an energy hole or sendra doorways that will lead you to an dimensional transfer. These doorways are a concentration of luminous energy that will be placed very near for you to go into once they have materialized from one of our ships. The accumulation of energy concentrated on the ground accelerates your molecular structure, allowing us to dematerialize and consciously project you to another place of contact where we shall be waiting. Furthermore, you will see that this place will be the source of many special memories in your life. The hours passed slowly until the night arrived, and with it the set for the encounter. I kept, as in the beginning, a great expectation, since until then it had been very difficult for me to accept just how real these contacts I had been waiting for years were. Now I was finally allowed to see them and get to know them more closely in order to better understand their lives and their world. The appearance of a ship northeast of Huaya Potosi made me snap out of my thoughts and place my complete attention on it. The ship moved slowly while it emitted from time to time beams of light, as if letting me know that everything was going as planned. After 2 or 3 minutes, the yellow lenticular object disappeared behind the neighboring peaks, and another ship appeared on the horizon. Its fuselage was completely sunlit, and one could notice, against the dark background of the horizon, an opaque metallic circle of size of a ping pong ball. Once it traveled slowly over us, it situated itself hovering over the intersection of 2 hills that formed like a small creek. On the ground, one could clearly see the formation of what could be described as a concentration of whitish light with scintillations of blue light. This formation was expanding and contracting itself until a great dome formation was steady. Its diameter was from 8 to 10 meters and didn't reveal what was behind it. Additionally, the dome had a very strong glare around it. The Sendra had been materialized, and it was no time for me to walk through it. At this time, my mind, trying to still to overcome fears, asked itself, what should I do? I had waited such a long time for this event, and finally, the option of either moving ahead or retreating was present here, as in everything else. However, at this point, I felt a very strong attraction and magnetism that made me approach the dome of light until I finally stepped into it. Immediately, my body began to feel a strong heat wave and a lot of pressure, mostly around the head and throughout my chest. I also felt those sensations of vertigo that take place when there is turbulence in an airplane flight, giving us a feeling of total weightlessness, as though we were a state of suspension or levitation. My physical senses, mainly those of hearing and smell, began to receive new impressions generated by a soft and harmonious sound and an aroma like the fragrance of flowers inside that hole made of light. At that moment, all of a sudden, as if attracted by a magnet, I came out of that intense light, appearing in an other place. The projection had taken place. My first sight was of a being waiting for me with a greeting gesture, holding his right hand up to the sky. He seemed to have a height of about 6 feet 5 inches, being very tall indeed. Also, I could observe a robust physique in him, and that he was wearing a white vestment that covered all his body as a tunic. He had a straight, very blonde hair down to just above his shoulders, and his skin was tanned. His eyes were quite slanted and gave him a serene expression of kindness that was underlined by the gentle smile on his lips. It was Zenon who was making me overcome my traces of the fear I was keeping in me, and to replacing it with great confidence, since immediately upon being seen, he mentally told me, "Do not fear. You are here because it was necessary for you to know and to corroborate much of what we have told you. You are now in Morlen, one of the satellites of the planet Jupiter, in your solar system, a satellite which is specifically known by you as Ganymede. The Confederation of Worlds, to which we belong, has agreed that you shall visit one of the colonies that has been established in this system. They have also seen it appropriate for you to come in direct contact with several of us, who, since having been informed, have prepared the way for such an experience." Those thoughts reached my mind as though Zenon was formulating them verbally, but the communication technique with him was the same as always. In other words, it was telepathic. Furthermore, in spite of my surprise, he continued, "We are now in the outskirts of one of the most important cities, not only of this satellite, but of a great part of the Confederation as well. In this colonial city, which is known as the Crystal City, where, for quite some time, the eventual seat of the Confederation has been established through the residence of the 24 elders, who, in their infinite wisdom, have devised various mechanisms of help for you, your humanity, and were chosen from among many evolved worlds that are part of the Confederation for their great capacity for love and evolution. It is they who are in charge of the plans and programs of collaboration for humanities such as yours, humanities that are going through times of great transformations and changes, as I told you in a previous opportunities." As he said this to me, I noticed how part of my hand and arm were completely illuminated as a halo of light covered my body completely. Also, I was still feeling this special sensation of weightlessness and began noticing how my senses were becoming much more sensitive. I also noticed that my breathing was becoming deeper and slower, regulating a special state of quietness throughout my body. By this time, I had already become used to the aroma that was present since the beginning of the projection, together with a somewhat denser and warmer air from that normally found on Earth. It was then that I began to observe not only Zenon, but the entire place where I had arrived, and this was what I saw. Across from where I was, I could observe a small valley surrounded by vast mountains which also had different colors than those encountered back on Earth. They were very bright and varied from reddish made to an orange. Furthermore, they were crowned by white stripes that resembled ice. The sky had another characteristic, and it was the planet Jupiter, which is encompassed a great part of its impressive way. As I observed this strange sight, I noticed that Zenon was patiently waiting for me to come out of my cave, and when I did, he said, smiling, "It is natural for human beings to be more easily attracted to what is different for them. Even your senses are now unconsciously perceived how different this environment is from your worlds. Now you can corroborate by yourself that space, distances, and above all, time are infinitely relative. I hope you have realized that just a few moments ago you were at a distance of 600 million kilometers from here, and now, with the velocity of thought itself, you find yourself on this satellite in Moulin. Well, now, follow me, for there is still much to see, and above all, to learn." At that moment, Zenon began to move, and I was unable to tell whether he walked or just slid a few centimeters above the ground, which was something that certainly I was doing. I was able to see, to my surprise, that a special and very clear luminance surrounded him, as though his own body emitted it. As he moved, I began doing it also without much effort. Although I did move my legs, I had the clear impression that they simply brushed against the ground, which was covered by a fine sand, as if it were defining a small path through which we began our descent towards the valley. Then I noticed that further down the path was delimited by what seemed to be some kind of well-polished stones. As we continued our descent, some buildings that had the shape of domes and igloos came to our view. I was also able to see some towers whose top part ended in hoop-shaped structures. None of the observed buildings had any edges because they were all either circular or concave. I also noticed along the path that some vegetation similar to ours on Earth, but it was also here that I had my first surprise, as a very, very quickly and small bush passed by in front of us. Zenon must have felt my surprise and with a much more noticeable smile said, "Do not be alarmed. There is nothing wrong or anything that could cause you any type of harm here. What you just saw is a very unique species of plant which has the fault of being able to move itself through the use of roots of its growths that grow freely above the ground. Therefore, they are a very different form of manifestation of nature than what you conceive. Here as well as in your world, plants and animals have a high level of sensitivity regardless of the level of consciousness in which they unfold. They are living and loving manifestation of the Father in which they you may find a very special kind of tenderness and warmth. Here the profound is expressing a very pure vibrational level, even though it does not have complete awareness of itself." When he said this, the image of a child appeared in my mind, and immediately, and without giving me time to react, I received the following. "Children certainly express as easily as nature that state of life that inspires in you the most tender feeling when you learn to allow your heart to listen to the eternal words of the spirit that is expressed in them. We have so absorbed with concern how nature in your world is in a state of increasing imbalance, since the forces unleashed by man's accelerated modernism have created a devastating effect which is hostile for himself. You have therefore broken a harmony that will cost you to re-establish. However, when you achieve it, you will be able to see and feel in its real magnitude, the beauty of the environment in which you now live. Then you will be able to feel and to vibrate in accordance with a new state of peace and harmony. This state will infuse you with soft and warm sounds that will together form a marvelous choir of manifestation which will become a great praise of universal love." We had already arrived at the first buildings of that city that now invited us in. It was Crystal City that let us see on these first buildings a range of colors from ivory to sea green. I was able to notice that the material from which they were built was the same in all structures. It was very similar to quartz and to ice, as though it had all been fused into one piece. "As I observed this," Zenon said, "this material is one that gave this small city its name. It's a crystal which is extracted in great quantities from Io, which is another moon of Jupiter, where we have established mining bases and supply centers by taking advantage of great amount of volcanic energies found there. Even in our realm, all of the energy is directed towards specific centers where it is controlled to create the necessary conditions for life. However, it is more important for you to know that the foundation of this colonist organization is a reflection of the life in community that has been developed throughout the Confederation. The Confederation, in turn, is based on the union of all the evolved worlds that have congregated under the ultimate goal of helping in their evolution other worlds that need it. This doesn't mean direct interventions on our part, since we will only use mechanisms of collaboration developed in isolated or group-based contracts, which we conceive as programs or missions of assistance. Then I told him, "So this is what you are doing with us?" And to this he answered, "Exactly. The goal of the experience which you are now living is for you to learn here many of the principles of life which are developed in more elevated and harmonious states, so that upon your return you will be able to transfer such values to the world where you now live. In this way, we allow man to help himself, without the need of a direct external intervention, since such an action could nullify the freedom of choice to decide for yourselves what you want for the future. Do you remember some of your legends and manuscripts that tell about the origin of your humanity?" "Some," I said. "Well then, certainly, life in your world dates from many millenniums ago, in which other humanities were able to develop themselves quite independently, some of which with complete knowledge about us, as well as contact. These were civilizations such as Mu and Lemuria in the Pacific Ocean, and that of Atlantis in the Atlantic Ocean. There were also a few early groups that initiated cultures, then inherited not only the living and profound knowledge of the patriarchs of those civilizations, but also the contact that they held. The colony in which we are now was found more than 18,000 years ago, in terms of Earth time. That took place before the arrival of the Christ to your world. The first colonizers came from the constellation of Orion and began to settle down, forming mining centers, observing and assisting, as it was allowed, in the unfoldment and decline of the humanities that preceded yours. Nevertheless, when the time was right, it was understood that the greatest mission for that center was that of protecting and assisting life in your world. Some remnants of knowledge and of our presence were registered in the sacred books of your many different religions that, although different, led to the same Father. They emerged from the living knowledge of many beings of light that, throughout the centuries, constituted themselves into a positive internal government in your world, towards which you are daily more and more predisposed to know and contact. From this relationship, a compromise was left, one that would bequeath a cosmic ascendant in your humanity. From the Vimanas in the Hindu text to the angels of the Bible, you see the traces that show the approach of the Confederation in a mission of peace and evolution towards your humanity. A humanity that now finds itself in a sufficiently mature age to be able to understand and to become more involved with the development of the universe, working together with the Confederation. As we walked through the city, we noticed from a distance various beings wearing vestments such as Zenons, who also had that strange luminescence around them. These beings had quite different aspect. You could notice in them a more prominent chin, giving to their face the shape of an inverted pear. Their body proportions were very similar to ours, but their average height was, like Zenon's, definitely superior that on Earth. When we saw these other beings, Zenon continued, the physical form of the people of Morlin, as we call this satellite, is not much different to yours, and you will be able to appreciate this more clearly when we reach a place where a brother of yours, who loves you very much and is a native of this satellite, wishes to speak to you. Then I asked, do all the beings in the universe have the same physical appearance? To which he answered, of course not, for those programs of assistance to Earth, beings having a similar physical appearance to yours, were sought first of all. This was to allow the contact to be accepted by your minds in an easier manner due to the familiarity of appearance. Consider the following. The forms in which creation has manifested itself throughout the universe are very different from each other. What really matters is the lively and profound manifestation of God, the Father within. You will find out that shapes change and even disappear, transforming themselves into light and leaving inside of them only the essence that created and motivated them, and lived by the eternal experience needed for the spirit to return to his creator, which is the profound love manifested in everything and everyone. That was end of chapter 3, and next on another audio file.